The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 317-893-2853. Or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. I look forward to today's show. Today we're talking about shingles and your immune system. I have had a lot of questions about the shingles vaccine, more about shingles. But we're going to look at kind of a more of a wellness standpoint. You know, it's always so interesting. I was actually listening. What kind of spurred this, not only with questions in the office, but as well, I was more recently listening to some podcasts with Dr. Mark Hyman. If you're unfamiliar, he is a medical doctor. He's a practicing family physician, but has ventured off to more be an advocate in the field of functional medicine. So multiple New York Times bestsellers. He's been on, I mean, if you saw him, you would kind of realize, because he's been on multiple television shows. CBS This Morning, Good Morning America. He's an advisor and guest co-host on Dr. Oz, the Dr. Oz show. So anyways, I was listening to one of his podcasts, and he really talked about how there's so much in our society that we focus on sick and disease care. It's kind of like an afterthought, you know, and going in and diving down a bit more into shingles is that, you know, when you go to the doctor, your medical doctor typically, and you say, hi, I want a healthier immune system, that medical doctor would really say, I don't know where or how to direct you. And in the same course, but it's more of a reactive care system when you look at our healthcare system. So you go in, and if you don't have any ailments, you don't have any symptoms, and you say, hey, I want a stronger functioning immune system, they don't know where to direct you. But if you come in sick, they say, oh, hi, you have a virus. Okay, well, you know, here's a steroid, or here's an over-the-counter pain reliever, or, you know, we can try an antiviral if it's within that 72-hour window. So it was really interesting to even hear someone who had gone through medical school, immersed himself in this, really realizes that the backside of things is that we are in society a very sick care afterthought system. I used to give the example, I don't remember where, but I always used to give the example of, you know, if you were to go to the medical doctor, your primary care physician, every day. So imagine every day you wake up in the morning and at 8 a.m., you say, hey, we're going to go to the doctor. And you say, hey, doc, how can I be healthier? And he might do the thing. He'll check your weight, check your blood pressure, check your sugars. And you say, okay, but what can I do to be healthier? I want to be healthier. And there's nothing really that he can give you at the medical doctor's office to be healthier. They just check. But, you know, you can look at and say you go in and your blood pressure is high, he can give you something for that. But if you came in and say, hey, I want to prevent high blood pressure, I want to prevent high blood sugars, typically that primary care physician isn't going to say, here's what you need to do. And so it is very much a disease care system. Yet if we don't have the disease yet present, then what do you do? And that's one that's always really so interesting, but frustrating too, right? Frustrating for individuals who come in and say, you know what, I feel like there's something that's not right. And they go through all the lab tests and they all come back normal. And you're like, huh, I don't really know what to do. Everything looks great. And right, as adults, oftentimes we know what our bodies, like, quote unquote, normal feels like. So when we feel as if there's something off or askew and we go to investigate that, that's one of the most infuriating places that you can be. And I see that often is that, you know, we never hope that something's wrong with us or someone that we love. But so oftentimes when something is wrong and they do these tests and they find nothing, then you're right back at square one. But you've put in the time, energy, effort, financial dollar for them just to say, we don't know what it is. Or if they see something that's mildly off, but you don't fit in a diagnostic box, right? Well, it could be this. But you only have this marker, not this, this, and that marker, right? So it just becomes such an infuriating system. So even looking at and addressing something like shingles, right, and the immune system, what that looks like, why is it that the elderly population is more susceptible? How do you get them, you know, the vaccine in and of itself, what does that mean? So we'll dive down into all of that and really focus more on the healthcare. We want to focus on health, not disease. If we want to make sure that we invest in our bodies and our health, our immune system, so we don't get to the disease standpoint, then we've got to be more proactive now when we feel great and we have no symptoms. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. But before that, we've got some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
For today's Health in the News, we have an article from the New York Times. Doctors accuse UnitedHealthcare of stifling competition. I just thought this is, it's a very, very long article, so I'm not going to go through the entire, but we will touch base, and I think it's really interesting if you don't know more about insurance companies. So UnitedHealthcare, which is one of the nation's largest health insurers, is being sued in two states by a large group of anesthesiologists who are accusing the company of stifling competition by forcing the doctors out of its network and by using its enormous clout to pressure hospitals and surgeons to stop referring patients to them. So the lawsuit was filed just recently in Colorado and Texas, were brought by the U.S. Anesthesia Partners, which is a sizable physician-owned practice backed by private equity investors. The practice claims in the Texas lawsuit that United engaged in unlawful tactics and pressure campaigns, including quote-unquote bribing surgeons with contracts that paid them much more if they steered patients away from the group's anesthesiologists. So the doctors make similar claims in the lawsuit they filed in Colorado, where they said United orchestrated somewhat of a boycott group. They described United like a boa constrictor squeezing the group from all angles. In an emailed statement, United said that the lawsuits were, quote unquote, just the latest example of the group's effort to pressure us into agreeing to its rate demand to distract from the real reason that it is no longer participates in our network. The company said it had not yet been served with either complaint. They say United has a lot of market power and they wanted to use it to their advantage. They're willing to play hardball with some of these companies. U.S. Anesthesia, which operates in 9 states, said it had a long relationship with United and was part of the carrier's network in Texas and Colorado until last year. But the doctors also raised questions about their insurance potential, conflicts with its parent company, United Health Group, blah, blah, blah. So it goes on to basically say, so if you don't know, let's break down how providers with insurance works. So when you say you accept an insurance. That insurance network, you sign all of this paperwork saying that you will accept their price. And you write off the rest. That's why if you ever see an EOB, an explanation of benefits from your insurance company, it's not uncommon for you to see that there is an insurance adjustment. Though that being said, most people say, hey, I'm going to set my fees really, really high so that maybe insurance pays like a portion of that. And insurance, right, these major insurance networks basically say, hey, I just wanted to let you know if you are in our network, we're going to send you tons of people. And since we send you tons of people, we basically are going to have you take a reduced rate. And so it's literally this battle between insurance companies saying, and then if you're out of network, you can still submit, but then there's less of that dangling carrot incentivizing. And so what's interesting is you look at this giant company and the poll, if it's true, the alleged of them saying, hey, you know, you have this contract and we're going to pay you more, but by the way, you can't send your people to these anesthesiologists. And they want to make it hard because they're like, hey, you got out of network. This is hard on you. And it is one where you will find that more, for example, let me give you an example. So when I had first opened up about 10 years ago, we had a practitioner here in the Indianapolis area who, she was phenomenal, looking at all aspects in terms of like adrenal fatigue. And I mean, she's amazing. And she was in network with everyone. And the more functionality that she got, like functional medicine, she went from just like regular prescribing. She went back. She got her doctorate, I think, in naturopath. But she realized that the amount of time that she needed to spend with individuals, that insurance companies would only reimburse her, when I tell you, like 5 to 10% of what she wanted to charge. And she said, I literally can't make ends meet. And she stopped practicing. She literally stopped practicing because she said, there's no way that I can help people with the constraints of insurance. And it almost sounds like this is what these doctors are doing, is they said, hey, you know, we're really, we know what we're worth and we know what it's going to take to help people. And they stepped out and United's like, oh, you know, and it's just one of the things, more than anything, what this, really lets me see is that you don't realize how much pull, or, you know, being in network, we are in and out of network with different insurance companies. And to see the few that we're still in network with, you know, one of them again is a larger insurance that, you know, a lot of people have, and how I had a case reviewed. This was a couple years into practice as well. And they said, you need to send me all of the documentation about this 12-year-old with migraine headaches. And so we sent all of it in and notes, everything. Nurse reviewed our notes and said that there is no way that a 12-year-old could state that he had migraine headaches, and demanded that we paid back all insurance dollars that were sent to them, because whatever RN reviewed the file said that there was no way that a 12-year-old. Well, listen, I didn't have kids at that point, but I could tell you that this 12-year-old told me he had migraines. And what's even more interesting is that now, having more kids, like I have a 4-year-old and he can communicate with me when things hurt on him, you know? So just to be that dismissive and that the oversight that it has, it's just, it's really, really interesting. Even too, you know, I had a patient who had previous history of having spinal surgeries. She was in her 20s, and had neurological deficit that she was losing function of her bowel and bladder, which is an immediate referral for an MRI. And when I had called to send this patient out for an MRI, I had to go through multiple hoops where, you know, because they said they don't know if an MRI was justified. And I remember calling and asking him, and, you know, they ask these pre-qualifying questions. And none of them were the proper answer to the patient in which I was trying to refer out. And I said, well, and I asked for extrapolation, like, okay, well, do you want this or where does this mean this? And this man said, ma'am, I have no medical training. I'm just here to ask you these questions. And I said, sir, but you're the person who's going to tell me whether or not my patient needs an MRI. Blue Cross, this insurance company just hired him. He has no medical background, but yet they're going to tell me as a doctor looking out for the best outcome of a patient whether or not they should have this MRI. I've never been more disgusted in my life. And that's just how it is, you know, and that's insurance companies. And so when you look at so many people that, you know, they unfortunately, our goal with or without insurance is to make care affordable at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. But you have to realize that insurance is not responsible for your health. It's you and only you. So when we come back, let's get into some shingles.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. For more information and to schedule an appointment, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. You can always schedule an appointment online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That is greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam consultation, just $25. So, today we're talking about shingles, what shingles are, but more importantly, how you get shingles and the natural things you can do, one, to prevent, but two, if you're in an active flare, there are some more natural things that you can do. So when we talk about shingles, right, we know shingles as being incredibly painful. Which rightfully so, it most definitely is. So shingles is a virus. Well, okay, shingles is a medical condition, but it is from the virus herpes zoster. So shingles itself is when you get the outbreak, a rash, blister on the skin. And it is caused from by varicella zoster virus, which is the same virus that causes chickenpox. So what happens is when you get the chickenpox, that virus stays dormant in the body. And typically where it stays dormant is along a nerve root dermatome, like a nerve root itself. So when you talk about nerve roots, the best way to explain it is that if you've ever gone to the doctor and they have like a little pin or a feather and they might say, does it feel the same here as here? And they do different parts of your arm. They might do your forearm and your pointer finger. And then they might do your pinky and like the inside of your forearm or the inside of your like upper arm near your armpit. And they say, does this feel the same? Does this feel the same? Or if you've ever experienced something such as numbness and tingling, right? Numbness and tingling, you might say, gosh, it's really only numb on like my pinky finger. Or, you know, I experience it, but it's only on my thumb and my pointer. Or I have numbness in my leg, but it's only on my big toe. Or it's only around my buttocks, right? Something like that. And those are all different nerve roots. So each individual area all corresponds with the spine. Telling you people, if you haven't figured out that your central nervous system, your brainstem and spinal cord have so much more to do than back pain, now's your time to realize. So again, for the most part, that virus remains dormant, causing no issues. But when an individual has a virus that's reactivated, that's where a shingles outbreak occurs. And the reason why that outbreak would occur is because there was a depletion or weakening in the immune system. So this is one where we say, hey, as you age, right, as you age, your immune system, it just becomes weaker. But in reality, this is really where we have to come to look more at the part of why is that? Because we just think it's like a part of aging. And in reality, it really has to do with, over the course of time, chronic nutritional deficiencies. So like, we're not eating well, we're not exercising properly. We have, just in terms of a mindset, we call it the five essentials: nutrition, detoxification, oxygen and lean muscle, mindset and nervous system. Those are the five. Really, over time, when you start to see deficiencies in those, that's what allows, as we age, to have the immune system deplete. So when you're looking at shingles, there can, for the most part, you know, the biggest concern when it comes to shingles, so like complications, is that you'll see it's not uncommon to have postherpetic neuralgia. It's called PHN. It's the most prevalent complication that comes with shingles. And so what that basically is that postherpetic neuralgia is when someone with shingles experiences pain along that nerve root, even after the rash is gone. It can last weeks. It can last months. Some people can have that pain for years. And so older individuals, they're more likely to develop and have more severe postherpetic neuralgia. The other thing that you have to be careful about is when it runs through a nerve root dermatome, it is most common for you to have it in a thoracic one. Your thoracic spine is your middle back. So that's where it's most common for individuals to have it kind of in their middle area. But it is not uncommon for individuals that may also have it in their cervical spine. Cervical spine being that, I've had one patient who had C2. So it went up into their face and it went into their eye. And so the biggest concern with that was making sure that it can go into your ears. But if they do go into your eyes, they want to make sure that it doesn't lead to permanent damage of the eye, leading to blindness, right? So that being said, those are kind of the two most common concerns when it comes to complications of that. You know, and when we look at kind of the conventional treatment, because there's no cure for it because it's a virus, right, is that they'll try to give antiviral drugs, but it has to be within the first 72 hours. And oftentimes with those antiviral drugs, you really have to pay attention to what, one, the efficacy is. Like, how effective is it really? Because majority of the antivirals are relatively ineffective. But then two, it's not uncommon to have a lot of psychotic, like mental side effects that come with it. It's very interesting. If you want to look it up, go ahead and search for it online. But then the secondary component is that they say, well, you know what we can do now is just, we can do preventative vaccines. Preventative vaccines. Which is, the thought process is, okay, so if you've had chickenpox, then you've already been exposed and your body has built it up. It's already dormant in there. If you haven't had the vaccine and they say, oh my goodness, you need to get it. You know, if you've never had the chickenpox, then you can't have shingles. You haven't had the virus for it to lay dormant. Though that being said, what was really interesting when I was digging down a little bit further with this is that the shingles vaccine that they had had beforehand, which is Zostavax, they stopped the beginning of 2020. They stopped administering Zostavax. Initially, I guess, when they had first started, the effective rate was 50%. As it continued on, it was less than 35. But then, too, you actually have part of that virus now that you've introduced inside of your body. So you can't, if you've never had the chickenpox, you can't get shingles. Yet if you have the shingles vaccine, you're introducing the virus into the body. Now you have the ability for that to lay that virus to lay dormant for you to have it moving forward. The other thing too that I think is really interesting is that, you know, previously the CDC would share with you the host cell, what the host cell was. So it could be human diploid cells, MRC5, which is a lung tissue of aborted fetal cells. Sometimes they'll let you know if it is chicken cells. Other ones, there's a lot of influenza that you'll look at from a vaccine standpoint that build that on canine kidney cells. So they're on their canine kidney cells and it's protein. But the new updated one, I looked to see like what's the host, and it just says host cell protein and it's DNA. So they won't even allow you to know now what DNA of host cell they're injecting in you. Which, if that's not a red flag, then my goodness gracious. So when we really look at shingles itself, like why would you get the vaccine? And the vaccine, you would get the vaccine because you didn't want to contract shingles, right? And so when you're looking at that, but still when you look at if the new one had a higher protective mode for you and you were willing to take it, then it's still, you know, it's still only addressing one virus. But really, it's not the one virus. It's because your immune system was depleted. And that's where I see so often is that why are there still people in their 30s? I had a colleague in college who ended up getting shingles. And it's because we were in the middle of an incredibly, with pre-medicine and biology as a major, we were in an incredibly, incredibly hard trimester. We did trimesters where I went to school. It was an incredibly hard trimester. And his grandma died. So we're in the middle of finals and an incredibly hard, it's like organic chemistry and all of these other crazy subjects that you had to take. And then his poor grandma died and the stress literally depleted his immune system. So then on top of that, he had shingles. So when you're looking at, and we just say, hey, it's totally normal as we get older to deplete with, but when we're looking at chronic viral infections, usually there's something else that's underlying. No one's really addressed more of your immune system. And so that's really one where we have to take a look at, okay, so we know how shingles happens. We know how the vaccine works, right? We're going to inject you with this and hope to stimulate your immune system so that when it comes into contact with this virus, it has this, you know, knowledge of how to fight it, but it's not a knowledge on how to fight it when you're talking about shingles because it lays dormant inside the body. So why is it allowed to become present at that point? If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter. So we really have to address some of the risk factors for developing shingles. One of them, yes, can be older age, but again, it's addressing what about older age depletes the immune system. High stress. You know, I shared with the colleague, stress, literally cortisol, depletes your immune system. If you've had a recent cold or flu, your immune system's already depleted. It's trying to fight. Same thing, too, when you have individuals who are going through chemotherapy or radiation treatment. If you are taking medication that weakens your immune system. So this includes like an immunosuppressant, obviously, medication given after an organ transplant, but also steroids. In individuals who have had underlying health conditions that can weaken your immune systems, HIV, AIDS, cancer. But then too, again, when we're addressing more lifestyle, that's a sedentary lifestyle That's poor nutrition habits and poor sleep. So let's talk about if you currently have, because the two things I want to address, one is if you have them, what are some things that you can do? And two, if you don't have them, what are some things that you can do to then work at not getting them? So one is that you can change up your nutrition to make it more antiviral. So what we want to do is address increasing food that is high in lysine, which is an amino acid, and decreasing food that is high with arginine, right? So both of those are amino acids. So let's talk. So lysine is an amino acid that plays a very important role in collagen formation, calcium absorption, cholesterol regulation, growth and development, but it also supports the immune system. So, for example, there was a 2017 review, Integrative Medicine, discussed that there are antiviral benefits of lysine when it comes to herpes simplex. This is one, too, not just herpes simplex when we talk about with shingles, but also cold sores. Lysine is a huge go-to for individuals who have cold sores. It's still a herpes simplex virus that causes it. So arginine is an amino acid that actually stimulates viral growth, right? So we want to do foods that are high in lysine, and we want to avoid foods that are high in arginine, right? So foods to consume, foods to avoid. So foods to consume that are high in lysine are going to be all meats. And we want these to be good quality sources. That's a really important component. Meats, fish, eggs, grass-fed dairy products, avocados, kale, beets, celery, apples and pears, green beans. Did I mention avocados? Because can you ever get too many avocados? Answer, no. Papayas and mangoes. Foods more to avoid would be things like tomatoes, Brussels sprouts, pumpkin seeds, grape, blackberries, asparagus, sugar, chocolate, right? So foods high in lysine, and you can go online and search for these too. You want to consume foods that are high in lysine. We want to avoid foods that are higher with arginine. So easy, right? Like change your viral load. Then two, intermittent fasting. I am telling you, fasting is a great way to support recovery from viral infections, especially ones like shingles. So intermittent fasting is just a way of eating that cycles between periods of eating and not eating. So for example, intermittent fasting can improve your health and reduce the risk of disease, but then two, it actually stimulates cellular autophagy and reduces inflammation. So it basically eats up these foreign invaders. So these are ones you can do time of or time in between too. You know, when you feel good, it's obviously not one that you're like, oh, I just love not eating. So that might be one that you can do beforehand. Two other ones. One is going to be Manuka honey. I've talked about this before. You're going to look at the price on this honey and you're going to say, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to do this honey. But it is important to make sure that the honey that you have more specifically is Manuka. It's M-A-N-U-K-A, Manuka honey. Because the antiviral, antimicrobial, anti-inflammatory benefits are specifically more so with Manuka honey. Yes, traditional local raw honey has other benefits, though when we're talking about antibacterial and antiviral, really more specifically, Manuka honey is the way to go. I've shared this a lot of times, is that my husband has used it for outbreaks when he has MRSA. but even so, they've been looking at burn units, have been dressing wounds, burns with this because of the amount of benefit that Manuka honey has. I had an infection on my finger once. I put some Manuka honey, supported it with some internal support and some essential oils. And I couldn't believe how it knocked out this viral. I'd been fighting it forever. It was wicked. I had like 104 fever as an adult. And if you've ever had 104 fever as an adult, you know that that's an infection that is not messing around. But two, if you have those open sores, you can either spray on colloidal silver, or two, you can make a baking soda and cornstarch paste. So it's basically the soothing paste is coconut oil, cornstarch, and baking soda. You can do lavender, which has soothing properties, but you just make a mix of it and transfer it on there. And again, it's just soothing for those open sores, the lesions that you might have, blisters from shingles. So those are the things that you can do if you're currently active. But what about immune support that you can do prior to that? And this is not just for shingles. This is common cold. This is for, you know, viral loads that cause pandemics, right? It could be for anything, for an immune support. And we'll talk about what those things are next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Proactive versus reactive, we always want to be on top of what we can do naturally to help support our health. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can always schedule an appointment online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. We want to be proactive about our health. Now, do things happen? Yes. I think that's one where we just have to embrace, you know, as a family now with multiple children, as we live the five essentials, put in proper nutrition, you know, by no means are we 100% perfect. There are times that I go to the party and I eat the really bad pizza and I have the really not healthy cupcakes, and I will make a note of how I feel. Even my son, he said, "Oh, Mom, my belly hurts." And I said, "Well, what kind of choices did we make recently? Did we make choices that make us healthy and strong, or did we make choices that aren't as great?" He said, "No, Mom, I had pizza and cupcakes." And I'm like, "Great. And look at how we feel. Like, this is food that, you know, we choose to not have as a consistent in our diet." Though that being said, though we're not immune to all of this, the amount of times that it happens lessens, the duration lessens, the severity lessens. I feel like more recently, people have been more in tune with their immune system and how the processes work. So that's where we have to come up with, like, how do we do things that ultimately strengthen our immune system? One of them is always my go-to is vitamin D. You know, when you look at vitamin D and the importance of vitamin D in your body, you know, that's one of the things that we actually started doing in the office that anyone can come in and do if they want. But I always want to know my vitamin D levels. And what was so interesting is that I had them run at my primary care physician, and I looked at how much it cost me, and I said, "Oh my goodness, it makes me never want to run that again," because it was so expensive. And so I realized that as a health practitioner, I would be able to find it. So we have a vitamin D test in the office that literally is a finger prick. You prick your finger, there's a couple drops, you mail it in, and they let you know. And it was less than a third of the cost of what it was going through my through a lab, through my primary care. So ideally, we want your numbers between 50 and 70. 50 and 70 are where you want to go. If you want to do therapeutic levels, which is more disease treatment, that is between 70 and 100. So truthfully, for me, I like to keep my values between like 70 to 80. That's my like good spot. So you have to look, you know, obviously if you're taking 5,000 IUs a day, there are some times in my life that I would take that and it fell down into the like 40s, and other times I take it and I'm outside more, or, you know, if I'm not nursing or pregnant, that goes up a little bit more. So I think that's really interesting, is that there are some people who need to take 10,000 IUs daily to get that number up, or they take it at 10,000 IUs and that just maintains. So vitamin D is going to be huge. And that's even one, again, more recently with just viral loads that have been coming on, they've shown time and time again that the more diligent you are at staying at keeping your vitamin D levels up, not that you never have something like COVID, but the symptoms are exponentially less. And that's truly no different when it comes to something like shingles. Zinc is another one. Zinc. So a zinc deficiency may also make you experience shingles worse. So there was actually a study that done in 2019 that was published in Advances in Nutrition that talk about how zinc play a role in antiviral immunity. So viral infections, including HIV and hepatitis C. Oysters are one of the highest natural sources of zinc. You can also get it from red meat and seafood, but this is one where I actually started adding a zinc supplement into my just general cycle of supplementation. What's really interesting is that we don't, a zinc deficiency is a lot more, is higher than you would have thought. But when you look at what zinc does in terms of function, we don't have enough time to go specifically into zinc. It's huge. Another one too that you might not be doing is there are tons of immune system benefits of mushrooms. Medicinal mushrooms are, I feel like just as a society, we waste the medicinal properties of mushroom as much as we could or should when it comes to this point. And so the health benefits is antibacterial, antifungal, anti-inflammatory. It's an antioxidant, anti-tumor, antiviral. It's helps protect the liver, anti-parasitic. Like, there, it's so interesting when you look at the health benefits of mushrooms. When we're talking about immune support, chaga, cordyceps, lion's mane. Now, often where I get these, because I would love to say that I have incorporated all of these mushrooms into my diet on a daily basis. Turkey tail is another one that has been found for therapeutic for fungal infections, cancer. Has anti-tumor. I mean, it's just when you look at the research, the true research that has come down to health benefits in terms of these mushrooms. So most of the time where I get mine is more in of a powdered form. So it is one that you can actually just go online, search, make sure the website that you get it through or the company that you get it through is third-party accredited, GMP certified, NSF certified. But this is one adding in, there's actually a company that has it's mushroom coffee. It doesn't taste like mushroom. My husband has to ask me every time we have coffee, is this mushroom coffee? I'm like, you wouldn't even know. It just tastes like black coffee. But they have other ones too that's turmeric based that you can just add in, that someone's done that work for you, but it has all of that really great support in terms of mushroom health. Right. So just little things that you can do, but then too, take away the things that are going to deplete your immune system. What are those things? And guys, you know those things. Those are the high sugar, processed, full of unhealthy oil. Right. These are ones that most of the individuals, you know what that healthy food is. You know what that food to avoid, fried food, sugar, carbonated beverages. So just, we got to get on it. So those are ones, make strong immune systems. We just have to be healthy individuals and make healthy choices. And it's not just immediately before. These are decisions that you can start making and altering starting today. Take responsibility for your health. You've got this. Thanks so much for tuning in. Look forward to next week. Always remember that your power is on.